Welcome one, welcome all to episode 225 of the Xbox Expansion Pass, recorded on Saturday, April 27th, 2024. I'm your host, Luke Lore, the Insipid Ghost, and today I'm joined by none other than gaming royalty as Lord Cognito takes time off from the realm of the Iron Lords to discuss Microsoft's impressive third quarter earnings. And we see an incredible uptick in gaming next to a pretty odd decline in console sales. Definitely something to look into. Lord Cognito, how are you, sir?
Lord Luke Lore, the ghost. I'm with the ghost again. I'm doing good, man. Definitely a lot going on. I'm really doing a lot of planning for the summer and conventions, and been doing actually a lot more in esports and stuff, and trying to kind of get ingratiated to that culture and stuff. But been busy, but a good busy. You know what I'm saying? So right now it's been a fun time, man. It's cool to kind of get back into the realm of Xbox Expansion Pass. We have not talked in a bit, so I got the call. We had to make this happen. This is long overdue, actually.
But that's how it is, right? Like, because in the gaming community, in the podcast community, like, you got a schedule and, like, it's finite. You know what I'm saying? Like, things pop up, but then, like, everybody's got their slot. And if you're live, if you're not, if you're busy, if you just need a break, you know? Like, Rand was going to join us too, but he double booked, and he's got a rule now. Don't double book.
Yeah. Because
those days get long if you start back to back. And I get it, man.
Yeah. I've made that mistake this week. Yeah. It happens. But you have to do it. You have to protect your mental health and your energy, because otherwise, you know, it's not trying to be disrespect to anyone. Otherwise, you go crazy, man. You don't want to burn out.
100%. And that's, I see podcasters do that. I see gamers do that when they want to, like, they want to finish the game, no spoilers, get in the zeitgeist, and then, like, they ruin the game for themselves, you know?
You're right. And I think I had this conversation with Colin and a couple other people. Like, sometimes it's like, because of, you know, being content creators, sometimes you don't get to enjoy what you want to enjoy, because sometimes you're so worried about the zeitgeist. You're like, yo, I need to be playing this now. This is what everybody's talking about. But your heart wants to play with you, really. Sometimes you won't play that Halo Infinite multiplayer with the homies. Sometimes, like, you know, for me, it's like, I'm a Tekken guy. I'm a Destiny. Like, Destiny's good right now. So it's so much that you end up conflicting with yourself. And it's just like, I think sometimes I always tell Maddie, you got to have that balance. And not, sometimes you got to go where your heart wants you to go. And right now I know where mine is.
I'm right with you. Because I'll tell you, like, you can see it in the notes that I sent you. Like, XCP's 2023 theme was find the fun. Like, we're not going to look for flaws in games. We're going to find the fun in it. We're going to have a good time with it. Our 2024 theme, just for Logan and I, and, like, we say it to people listening, I say it to everybody that's with us right now. I see the chat is popping. I'm so honored to have you guys here. But, like, for Logan and I, as we do more coverage, I'm always like, games aren't work. Games are fun. Like, we don't make it work. That, for anyone that didn't know, that's Logan and I's theme for 2024. It's that games aren't work. We play to have fun. We play to have a good time. That's what I like to see. So I'm all for it, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's a big thing for me. And I want to say, normally we start our show with words of kindness, and I want to definitely do that. I want to shout out everybody in our chat first. I see Bacon Gaming from the Nerd Chat, Ellery Woods Parker III, who just did a video review for us on the Outer Terror. I see Baron J67, who joined us 2 weeks ago. Good to see you. Good to see you. Love it. Back from the dead, hanging out. Nick Johnson, Rick Davis, putting the new emotes to work. That's right, everybody. We got emotes now for channel members, which is dope. They're the same ones that are available to our Discord members in Discord. Really excited to see those. I see them popping off. You know, they have this running joke where I'm the vault boy, right?
You know, I never really wanted to do you dirty like that, but it's so true. Like, bro, if you put on a Vault Tech suit, bro, it's over. Like, let's monetize, bro. Gross. Let's monetize, baby. I got some people we could call. We could make
it. Look, let's call them, because I'm in now. Like, after the Fallout show, I'm in. Bro. I watched the show when I was down and out sick. And then I was like, to the wife, I was like, babe, hear me out. Just watch one. See what you like. That woman watched 4 episodes in one night, was bleary-eyed and asleep the next day at work trying to make it because that show was so good. So I'm in on Fallout now. Like, I'm here with it. I got it. I'm on board.
And that's awesome that you said the wife said, all right, I'll give it a shot. And I'm assuming non-gamer, right? Mm-hmm. Yep, and then to see her get hooked at that, mm-hmm. and that just shows you where it is in the zeitgeist in terms of pop culture, mm-hmm. where Fallout is just everywhere right now. So, yeah, man, that Ghost, man, I'm telling you, it's an opportunity right here, bro. Time to put that Vault Boy on, man.
Let me say, to anybody, I'll wear the Vault Tex. I will do it. I will do it because they've also got this running joke that I'm, I forget, something in Starfield. It's like this... some fan, like super fan.
Oh, Adorant. Damn, they got my boy with Adorant fan.
Yeah, but I can see it too. I can't fight it anymore. It's like, yeah.
You gotta embrace it, bro. You gotta embrace it.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I'm here for it. All right, fine. Because the games are so good now, because I just downloaded that Fallout 4 update.
Yes.
I'm anxious to see how it goes. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I've never played Fallout. I loved Starfield, but Fallout was new to me. And so I started it, really liked Fallout 4, but I put a pause to play Kenzera and wait for that update.
Yes.
And so, like, I just poked on this morning after, by the way, shout out to Paris Lilly because he told me how to beat Impundalu, the first Act 1 boss in Tales of Kenzera. Mm-hmm. And I beat him this morning. So I was dope. I was excited about
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. After I finished that, then I went and, just tried the Fallout 4 update. Performance mode's working well on Xbox. I know it's got some bugs, which I laughed at. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I like that update. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I got to get to it. I've heard good things. I think the issues I'm hearing is more on the PC side, but I hear on the console side, it's a little bit more, you know, it's more stable. So yeah, I got to get to it too, man. It's so much Fallout. I can't get enough of playing Shelter. Mm-hmm. Or actually play 76 for the first time. Okay. I never played it. When the bombs were dropping mm-hmm. and people were coming for Todd and it was in a bad state, you know, I just said, nah, I'm not even going to do it. And, you know, obviously you watch a show, you get energized. And I'm like, man, I want to play something right around the start of the show, but mm-hmm. the Fallout 4 update wasn't ready yet. So mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what, Cog, you never tried 76. And I've heard it has improved since. So yeah, shout out to Eggman V, a couple of homies. They were like my tour guides giving mm-hmm. me the experience. And yeah, it's fantastic. It has changed so much about it. The main thing I noticed off the top was the engine, the smoothness, mm-hmm. and how beautiful the world in Appalachia looks, I guess West Virginia and stuff. And mm-hmm. I was like, yo, they've come a long way. Like, this is a completely different game mm-hmm. than what I played. So salute to Fallout 76 and them sticking with it. And apparently they got tons of content, tons of free stuff to on board people, mm-hmm. they know that's going to be playing, and their community is amazing. Like, as soon as you get out, they're handing you stuff and they're mm-hmm. doing stuff. So yeah, man, salute to Fall. Right now it's on another level right now.
I fully agree, and I'll shout out Captain Logan, who, for anybody wondering, couldn't be here this week. I see the Captain Logan emotes in chat. He's doing family things, but it's good to see him. He's been talking to me about family or Fallout 76, and I like, we're approaching the end of our battle passes in this season of COD, and we love COD. My crew is we're just in on Warzone, and we cycle, like we do something. I'm thinking like 76 is starting to tempt me a little bit. Like, I'm seeing it, and then the side right here, I'm like, do I want another live service?
That's the thing.
Because I started Fallout 4, and I'm like, okay, I could do this, but I see its age, I feel its age, even with the update this morning, just checking it out. And do I want another live service? But Fallout hype, like, if I miss it, will I be okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, will I be all right if the Fallout train passes once again, or do I want to go in? And I don't know.
It's a good question. You got tough decisions, especially, you know, you're a semi-live service guy like me. I see you get your Halo in, you get mm-hmm. your, you know, if you get caught in, you're getting it in, bro. Mm-hmm. So I know you putting in work. Mm-hmm. It is tough because you really can't do... I think I tried to, because Destiny will always have me. Y'all know that. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Back for Dead in the chat and stuff like that. But I remember when Destiny went through a little downtick and Diablo, I was trying to go back and forth. And I did it for a little while, but it's tough. And then you got your single player game. Usually you can only be married to about one or two, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So I feel. But I think you should at least fire it up just to see all the changes and to see what the new player experience is like. You know?
Okay. I don't mind doing that because... To your point a moment ago, and to something Logan regularly says on the show, is that the community is so giving and welcoming. I don't mind it because I'm curious how Sea of Thieves welcomes PlayStation players. Like, are the Seas going to be popping and they're just going to wreck kids? Or are they going to be like, no, you turn your sails by doing this. Don't start with a galleon. You know, like, I'm really curious. Is it going to be cutthroat? So when I hear that a community is welcoming, I'm more inclined to check it out.
Yes. Bro, the quality of life is so good. So many things they've done right.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'm not saying no, I guess is what I would not mind going to 76. I want to know, like, because I'm starting Fallout 4 and I am enjoying it and I loved Starfield. It's like I'm getting my new Bethesda kicks here. So, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I want to take a moment. We often start our show with words of kindness. That's something we regularly do. And I'm going to put it on its head a little bit, Cog. One of our community members has been going through it lately. That's my man, Butch. And he wrote kind of an essay for me, but he asked me to read it. And because community is so important, Rick's been such a good community member, I want to shout him out. So bear with me as I read his note. And Rick's in chat, everybody, so please at Rick Davis if you'd like to. This is from Butch. He says, as many of you know, I've been struggling to deal with a pretty big recent loss as our young Australian Shepherd, Ray, passed away 2 weeks ago, shaking my wife and me to our foundation, and she was a major part of our daily activities. This came rather suddenly and unexpectedly, thereby exacerbating the issue, and when it happened, we were getting hit with a tidal wave. I felt like I was drowning. There was no surface to breathe the air, and out of desperation, simply to get it somewhere, I put a few messages in the XCP Discord, and it's there, as well as from a few of my personal friends, that I found comfort and love that I wasn't expecting to feel. The way the Discord community and, again, a few of my friends stepped up to make me feel like I wasn't alone, didn't cope with it alone, was nothing short of exemplary. You all really came through for me at a time when I needed it most, and from the absolute bottom of my heart, I truly and sincerely thank you for getting me through the most difficult of our losses that I've ever dealt with. Clint, Ellery, Todd, Kevin, Sam, Chris, Silkenit, Joe, Ains, Alex over at BitCast, many others who I haven't mentioned by name, all of you have helped me out, and to Luke, who continually checked on me, and let me ramble about it and let me know it was okay to be upset. That meant so much. Logan, I know you have had difficulties yourself lately, but you also took the time to check on me and vent a bit. You guys are true, honest to God friends, and I can't thank you enough. And lastly, Lord Cog, while you obviously weren't in the Discord, you and Maddie and the whole Last Stand media crew kept me laughing at a time when I didn't think I possibly could. So thank you as well.
Love, 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 man. Yeah, powerful, powerful. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, you know, we're still a community. And I like the fact that sometimes we don't realize how what we do affects people and could help them get through some difficult times. So, yeah, trust me, I've experienced that. I know how difficult that is. And, just know that, you know, you have a community and people that you can actually vent to and actually, you know, get that love back during a difficult time. So yeah, we pull it for you, man, and appreciate the kind words as well.
Absolutely. That's what gaming is actually all about. It's about enjoyment, community, friendship, not console wars, not being mad about sales numbers. It's about good times, right? Whether you put a quarter on the arcade back in the day,
facts, build a
community that way to this. So that's pretty cool. So, Well, Lord Cog, this past week was, I thought, a strange week for Xbox news, because we got this, not a lot in terms of game news, because it's been more Fallout craze to our points earlier. And also we got like revenue, quarterly reports, whatever else, people seeing all these Xbox games on the PlayStation Store doing well. And it came out in a financial report that we had a 51% kick up in gaming revenue for Xbox. But that was next to a 31% year-over-year console decline, which really, to me, begs the question of, you know, is Xbox dominating? Because I see the PlayStation charts, it's doing great. Steam charts doing well. Sales numbers, Sea of Thieves, 40 million, and coming to PlayStation. Is Xbox dominating? Or, like, you know, are we sounding alarms at seeing a 31% decline in console sales? I'm not wise enough to know the answers, but I see that stuff and it piques my interest. And I'm curious how you took the news.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, obviously we know that the Xbox brand and the community, I would consider this as an inflection point, you know, especially since the business update, right? You know, we started to see them actually verbalize that they will put their games on other platforms. So we're like, okay, how does this work? And I think the community was taken back by it because at the time, remember, there was just all the rumors, everything's coming, this is coming, that's not coming. Like, so now that we got the clarity, okay, now let's see this strategy. And for me, Ghost, I've been very curious about the strategy in two ways. One, I'm like, live service, when you look at games like a Sea of Thieves, you look at games like a Grounded, how do those truly do? And I said, we need some data points. And what's funny is Satya mentioned the exact data point on this call that I talked about last ILP. And I said, I find it very interesting that, what was it, 7 Xbox games were in the top 25 of the PlayStation Store. That told me a lot. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I thought about it, I said, look, we have to be honest in where their position is as far as hardware, right? So when they look at that and they look at that data, that to me says, okay, we can get so much revenue by at least entertaining some of this. So the thing that's interesting, you see how much gaming, Xbox gaming as a whole is up, right? And then you see the content and services. And that's really what it's about for them, to be honest. I'm not going to never poo-poo 31% hardware down. That's not good. That's not good. But at the same time, there's a part of me that says, if that continues to grow and mergers and acquisitions, which is what they could tend to do with, you know, ABK, that may tend to offset that. I think the key for me, and again, I'm not this super financial guy as far as data is concerned, but what's interesting for me is in a post ABK transition world where all of the things are integrated, the integration costs are over with. Now, like next year, now, like, for example, Call of Duty is now integrated into, you know, Game Pass, and obviously Diablo, we they talked about, you know, some of the uptick just with Diablo. To me, it's very interesting to see how things continue on the revenue and services front with the full integration and obviously to see if it can offset the hardware. Because I think the last point I'll say is that with hardware, they do have an uphill battle, because the reason why I feel they're even entertaining putting games over on the other, you know, other platforms is because maybe the hardware is doing it. I just think it comes down to brand. Because the last thing that's interesting to me, let's be honest, Sea of Thieves is literally out now on the Xbox platform and ecosystem.
Do you mean PlayStation?
I mean, yeah, and PlayStation. And play, okay, but prior to that, right? When we looked at the pre-order numbers, I think they were number one. This is the premium edition, and the standard edition pre-order of Sea of Thieves was number 1 in 5 on the PlayStation Store. With a game, so a game that is already out on another platform.
I see. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
People are willing to play it on the platform they want to play it on. That's very and willing to pay, because technically this is on Game Pass.
Right.
That tells you a lot. So it's very, and I think Xbox recognizes this. So it's like, I think this is why the strategy will continue, in my opinion. But yeah, this is great data points, man. And overall, look, at the end of the day, this is what I've always said. I'm all about, I'm a kid, I'm a Sega, I'm a former Sega kid. I've seen it where your console or something goes away. If this is the way for one, sustainability, them to make more revenue, more gamers get a chance to play these multiplayer live service games that I love, that they have now have these thriving bigger communities. I don't, it does not affect me. I'm literally playing it on Game Pass on a service I want to play it on. So I'm fine. This doesn't affect me, but it's just interesting to see, because we're in a different time. We're in this inflection point, transition point with Xbox.
I very much agree. And I've had a lot of Sega on my mind lately, just as we watch this, because I very much see the future. And I think anybody that's looking will see it now, is that exclusives and consoles are just not the future in the way that we once thought about it. And this isn't a new idea. Like, I'm not coming up with anything fresh, but when I look at all these people that are talking about their ROG allies, their Steam Decks, I saw Nisa in chat. What's up, Nisa? Saying they got their ROG ally. They're logging into their ecosystem of choice, right? PlayStation just put up their PC app where you can get PlayStation trophies and Steam trophies, right? Xbox has had this native stuff for a while. When I see this, the hardware aspect is just going away. And as I look, I very much recognize the idea that this strategy going forward of putting your content maybe first on your console and then to another place, in some cases day and date, depending, is just the way to go. Because if Xbox can go down 31% in console sales and their revenues can spike in such a way because of the success of Fallout, because of the success of Call of Duty, because of World of Warcraft, Diablo, Minecraft, why wouldn't you want to see this happen? Because it, unlike Sega, where it was this moment of like unsure elements, like we didn't know what was happening, right? Like, are we done? Because admittedly, you went from 32X to Saturn to Dreamcast, and it was just like rapid fire. The Nomad's in there somewhere. What are we doing here? We know where Xbox is. It's everywhere your screen is. Is this the strategy for the future? And I really think it will matter less and less what box you're on, because I know I'm buying the next Xbox out of preference.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a preference, but it's not a rule. Like, no one says I can't play Call of Duty or Sea of Thieves crossplay or whatnot. What was it? Special Nick made waves because he mentioned Helldivers on Xbox. Is or isn't, whatever. It'd be foolish for anybody that's counting numbers to not even ask the question. You know, would it make sense for us to put our live service platform in a new space where you have a new market? Mm-hmm. MLB The Show does well and stuff. Why wouldn't you at least ask the question and entertain it? And Cog, I'm curious. I'm okay with Indiana Jones hitting PlayStation a year out. Mm-hmm. Is that what you think?
Yes. Oh, like, does it bother me? Yeah, see, that's what's going on right now. What it is that the real issue here is for people who are used to the old way of doing things, right? Mm-hmm. And we're used to exclusive, supposedly dominate the market. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea of damaging your brand, right? And to some aspects, I understand the concern. I'm never going to, you know, completely poo-poo it. But mm-hmm. to your exact question, it does not affect me, because if you care about games and you're playing on your preferred platform, mm-hmm. which is either Xbox console, Game Pass is the service. Game Pass is the platform. So to me, I'm playing on a console that I prefer to play it on the service I prefer to play it on. It does not affect me that 3 months, 6 months, or even at the same time, someone else is playing that game, as long as I'm playing where I want to play. And I think people have to really wrap that in their head. Same thing with the PC ecosystem. Sometimes it doesn't matter what you try to do to offer. Like, people want to play where they want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Xbox's strategy is like, look, let's put it where they are, mm-hmm. right? So again, if Indiana Jones came out, you know, over there at the same time or whatever, Blade, it doesn't affect me. I'm here for the games. Mm-hmm. That what I see is, when I look at Xbox's lineup, I see 10 most likely first party or games that are coming out this year that are massive to the platform. That's what concerned me. Prior to this generation, we were like, hey, what's going on with the game development, with the mm-hmm. studios, and so on and so forth. They didn't even have the studios. You know, I look at the class of 2018, when you have the Playgrounds, the, you know what I'm saying, and the Obsidians and all that stuff, and you go, okay, there's investment now. Mm-hmm. They are looking to bring it, and that's what Game Pass is. In order to sustain that, you have to have games, you have to have content. So when I see that, I'm fine. I see Indiana Jones, mm-hmm. I see a Hellblade coming out, what you going to smoke? I see Avowed, I see the integration of ABK, most likely a Call of Duty going into Game Pass, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, day and date this year. That excites me, right? I'm not worrying about what someone else is doing after the fact. Those are people who, you know, unfortunately, for the reality for some in the console war is that it's over once the four games went over. There's nothing yeah. else to really talk about. It's like they're over there, that's it. So I think certain people are struggling mm-hmm. adjusted to this new normal, because mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, and you said it perfectly with PlayStation, they may not be as aggressive as Xbox in terms of their integration and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but we see signs of it. We see when Bungie was acquired by Sony,
mm-hmm.
they were allowed to be multi-platform with their live services. That's mm-hmm. huge.
Yes. Right?
We see now with Helldivers, for the first time, you know, even though it's not all the way fully first party, this is a huge successful multiplayer game, mm-hmm. PC day and date. That's a huge thing for them. Mm-hmm. And you said the key thing with my favorite game on PlayStation, which is Ghost of Tsushima.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest news is not that it was coming to PC. The biggest news is the PlayStation overlay similarly mimicking what an Xbox Game Bar does,
mm-hmm.
with full friend integration, trophy achievement list, all that, allowing the cross play between the devices and the achievements and stuff to pop at the same time. Mm-hmm. Effectively saying you don't need a PlayStation on PC,
mm-hmm.
you know, saying to have this game. So I think that's where these companies are going with cloud, PC, mobile, and stuff like that. I just think obviously PlayStation kind of dips their toe, where Xbox is a little bit clairvoyant to see, okay, this is where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
All gardens are coming down. More of a ubiquitous future may be happening. If that does happen, we're the most prepared for that integration to be able to be everywhere.
And I think that comes as a byproduct of not doing well in the console sales market, right? Xbox had to survive. They had choices to make in 2014 after the launch of the Xbox One. the hardware wasn't doing what it needed to do compared to their major competitor. It was $100 more expensive. People weren't, for one reason or another, going in with Kinect. What do we do? What's going on? Our games aren't, we're not making enough games. They're not making them fast enough at the quality people are selling. And so backcompat became a thing. Purchasing and acquiring new studios became a priority. Game Pass, a subscription model, play with your PC. They started making efforts to say, hey, we've got to offset the lack of console success. Deserve, not deserve, that's not the argument. The numbers said, hey, we're not going to survive if this is our only model. It's just the way it goes. And, you know, I get a kick out of these recent things. I even put it in just in our notes. When I look at PlayStation's top 25 and I see all these Xbox games, when I see that Fallout's show has driven, you know, Fallout sales up week over week over week over week, and they're, it's not like they're expensive. They're putting them on sale. They want Fallout everywhere right now. I see Call of Duty and Overwatch 2, which I thought was a dead game based on my social feed. Suddenly it's number 7. Minecraft maintains. Sea of Thieves coming in at 12. Grounded 13. Like this is, or sorry, Grounded 23 when we pulled these numbers. It's a reminder that being everywhere allows you to extend your lifespan and diversify how you make and create. A lot of people in the last week or so I've seen say, well, those aren't Xbox games. It's Activision Blizzard. It's the same. It doesn't, like, what are you talking about? Is Minecraft not an Xbox game? Who cares?
Like semantics, mental gymnastics.
Mental gymnastics is the best phrase, because I don't care if I'm excited for Gears, if Call of Duty by way of Activision Blizzard is what's keeping Xbox going for a moment in time as they fix it, handle it. I don't mind. I'm all for it, because it means we're not going to go the way of Sega, whom I adore, right? It means I'm not going to have that wonder of, is Xbox going anywhere? And you pair that next to PlayStation's, I think it came out in the Insomniac leak, which is unfortunate, but we know their return on investment is not where they need it to be sustainable. Absolutely. We know that Destiny didn't do what they wanted it to do for them. So why wouldn't we want to find out that Xbox is making moves to not fall in those same categories? Why wouldn't we want PlayStation to adjust their strategy so they don't have a moment like that?
Absolutely. And you're a fire, Ghost, because I think people have to realize, again, I know there's a lot of doom and gloom for people who are used to the way the console market used to operate. But the reality is that pie isn't getting any bigger. I think Phil Spencer made a good comment, and Hiroki Totoki, in the sense that you only have two options. If the pie is not getting bigger, if the console user pie is not getting bigger, it's, you all you have to do is either over monetize these same people with the prices going up or over monetization, or you say, hey, we have to find a new pie, a new circle of new players to introduce. And I know it makes me just saying on the docket today, but you see Xbox working with Meta now as far as putting Game Pass over there on the platform, having a limited edition. I mean, Game Pass is already over there. Actually, that was one of my projects that I worked before I left. I'm pretty proud about that. But yeah, like one of the things there that I was very integral is one, you know, separating the Meta name, your government name, versus, you know, because I told them, like, gamers don't want to be on a government name. Too federal, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? So that's one. And then two was actually, you know, truly onboarding Xbox Game Pass streaming on, this is back when the Quest 2 and the Quest Pro were out. This was on older hardware. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm a person, when it comes to dog fooding and stress tests, I said, look, I'm going to try to break this thing. I'm going to pick the most latency thing. Mm-hmm. I went into Halo Infinite multiplayer streaming on my MetaQuest with a controller, basically on VR, having my screen like a projector visually in my house, huge. And I was impressed. I was like, this is actually playable. And you know how latency is so important for a competitive game. Now, again, my situation is ideal. I'm obviously doing fiber and all that stuff. But it was impressive with the old tech back then, and to see them now doing a Quest 3 and now with better tech in conjunction with now xCloud and better you know, synergy there. So for me, it's one of those things where people, including PlayStation, all these companies are looking to see how can they get more engagement, more users outside of just console. I think that's the inflection point. And I think all of them are honestly going to do it. It's just that Xbox is obviously, because the hardware is where it is right now, and I do feel that's because of the brand, they have accelerated that plan, you know what I'm saying, a little bit. But yeah, we'll see what happens, man. This is definitely an interesting time to just kind of monitor and see what's going on in the industry.
Take a quick moment. Shout out Matt Valdez became a tier 3 member. Wow. That is amazing, dude. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate you. Always supportive, but goodness gracious. Wow. Okay.
Salute. Yeah. I just want to comment on one thing because I see concerns about exclusives. I'm not trying to attack anybody specifically. And look, I get it. You know, I think exclusives add flavor to the console. I've always been pro exclusive. I've never been a person that says, hey, exclusives are bad for the industry. I've never been that. But we have to be realistic, though, with the data. If we look at the data, there's usually 6 games that dominate as far as both platforms. When you look at the most played games, it's usually the Call of Duties, the Minecrafts, the Fortnites, the Roblox. You see what I'm saying? Those are the games. They're really not the exclusive games for the most part dominating the platform.
Right.
Right. I'm sorry. You're about to jump in.
Well, no, I'm consistently, like, I work with kids. They're talking Roblox. They're talking Call of Duty. They're talking Fortnite. They're not talking about Tales of Kinzera. I talk about that to them and they're like, wait, really? What is this? And like, I talk to them about some of this piece of the pie that they don't see because they only talk about their little like live service, and those bring in huge amounts of money. And absolutely, do they swing? Do we see companies exploring that pricing menu, right? More and more, because do you price your customers up? Do you up prices for the current customers, or do you expand to other places? That's what you were saying. Right. And I think both have to happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, when you have those, what I consider like the dominant 6 games that are third party games that are dominating both storefronts, it's hard to now crack that. If you have like, you know, a major game, maybe Hogwarts, or, you know, there's a couple of things that break through and you go, okay, like Helldivers is doing tremendous right now. But it's like, it's very hard because generally gamers right now are going to play the GTA. They're going to play those 6. You know, kind of thing. So I think that's what people are realizing. So exclusives, as much as they add flavor and I love them, I don't feel they're as dominant as far as revenue as they used to be for both, for these platform ecosystems. And I think these companies also are aware of that stuff.
That's what it comes down to. I think it can help with perception. The exclusives can help with perception, but it's the reality of monies that they deal with, the reality of engagements and sales and interactions. And that to me is the most... I guess the biggest disparity between the narratives that I see on social feeds and the realities of what these companies look at, right? They are
absolutely
they're looking at monies coming in, engagement numbers, where can they expand their piece of the pie, what can they get more out of it without costing customers. Exclusives are less and less an issue, which quietly I would whisper it to my chat, who is amazing, by the way, 29 of you guys hanging out.
Salute.
Whew, I would whisper this. I care less and less about exclusives myself, right? Like, I don't care as much because I've been playing games with Mr. Badbit, and he's ugly. But like, every week I play with him. Like, he's on his PlayStation, and it's not affected me one bit, you know?
Yeah. No, it's good stuff, man. And last point is that, again, what we have to realize is social media is an echo chamber that is not representative of real life, right? If you listen to social media tell you Xbox has no games, you know, no one cares about the stuff that comes on the platform. However, real life told me that Sea of Thieves was number one pre-ordered on that platform. Real life told me that Grounded was in the top 25. You know what I'm saying? So what does that tell you? Again, the regular gamer, the casual gamer who's not in the hardcore zeitgeist on social media just cares about the games and if they're on their platform and they're willing to pay for that. So it's again, we have some data points early right now.
Absolutely. I want to get some of these super chats because I'm honored whenever they come in here. First one from Addy Zero says, what's up, Luke and Cog? I won't be messy today. Get messy. It makes it fun, right? It makes it fun. So I appreciate you, man. Thank you for the $5 super chat. It means the world. Matt Valdez, gifting 5 channel memberships. Cannot believe it. Not only became a tier 3 member today, but gifting 5 memberships as well. That is an absolute honor. I will update my banner in a few moments here, but just really wanted to thank you for that one. It really means the world. So thank you. Cog, when I think about, and I want to, there was one other thing I wanted to touch on with the idea of exclusives. Xbox has been skipping exclusives for such a long time in ways that people didn't realize. They've been a third-party publisher in ways that people didn't acknowledge for so long. It was like they willfully ignored that Fallout 76 and Minecraft were there, that they put Ori in other places. And to me, this has really helped prepare Microsoft for this new stage of game development. And as we approach Hellblade and Avowed this year, Indiana Jones this year, Microsoft Flight Sim this year, they've really been doing quite well, I think, at getting games out the door since 2023. I think Redfall gave them a black eye.
Yes, sure.
But ignoring Redfall, like, they've been doing well. Like, Starfield's a good game, and I don't expect Starfield to be Skyrim right away. It took years and mods and community engagement. And look at 76, which has taken years and time to be where it is, this praiseworthy up however many hundreds of percents since the show came out. It takes time for some of this stuff. And gamers are notably impatient, but customers show up when the product is there, I feel.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you're on fire too, because my thoughts are exactly with yours. When I look at last year, 2023, and you look at the lineup, you had Minecraft Legends, you had the Hi-Fi Rush, you have Forza Motorsport, you had Starfield. Of course, we know what happened with Redfall, but if you look at the year as a whole, that's the beginning of the consistency that we were promised from a Matt Booty, you know, almost a quarterly type of cadence of first party games that come into this service that are quality games. And I'm with you on Starfield. I love Starfield. Look, I'm a bit biased. I admit Starfield is one of my favorite games. I understand it's not Skyrim. The equivalent I use it is like, you know, Skyrim is like Michael Jackson Thriller, the greatest album of all time. And Starfield is like the bad album afterwards, which was a great album. It had I'm Bad on it, had all these great songs, you know what I'm saying? But there's levels to it, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to Mount Rushmore. And I agree with you. I think time will also tell once Shattered Space expansion that we expect to come out and more content. But to the overall point, you look at a solid year like 2023, where you see the consistency, you see the cadence. Now we enter 2024. The only issue I would say is that maybe we thought we were getting Towerborn between this time, between the start of the year and May, but they did have Power, which is a tremendous success at January, right? Then we know what's coming next week. You know, Hellblade 2, to the point where, which impressed me, was if in the Insomniac leaks, Insomniac themselves said Ninja Theory's Hellblade is a standard we hope to set ourselves to for graphical. This is Insomniac, who I have tremendous respect for.
How can you not?
How can you not? So you see, they're coming. And listen, I'm a Hellblade guy. So this is something I just care that way. And I don't want a 100-hour experience. I want a tight story, talk about psychosis, Dolby Atmos voices, the whole bit. Now we move forward for the rest of the year. Indiana Jones, I ain't gonna lie to you, Ghost, it stole the show from me.
Did
that's
it?
Machine Games. Like, I'm not even worried about that game in the least. And Todd Howard's stamp on that game as well. Also, I'm a huge Obsidian fan, the Western RPG. Avowed is on my list. And then I always, we talked about the revenue, right? This is what ABK is here for. I'm looking at the infusion. Diablo 4 now into this service. Shout out to my man Back for Dead that's in the chat. We used to rock it and play that. Look at the uptick of so many players now playing this game now that it's in this service. My thing is, once, and you're a COD guy. I used to be. I know that addiction, right? When COD is in that service day and date on Game Pass, that is massive. When the entire ABK catalog is infused into Game Pass, like, so I can get my Transformers War Cybertron, I can get all these games from back compat and future preservation. To me, I look at what they're doing from a game standpoint. It's almost over, and there's still more titles that we know that they're going to be announced. There's rumors of Gears. You know, they have so much in pocket right now. I can see the vision. So there's no doom and gloom. I mean, when I actually see the games and on my preferred platform. So I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it for some people, the emotionality of stuff going other places. Sure. Does not affect me. As long as I play and I see the games coming and I see a plethora of games this year, continuing that cadence, and then we know next year as well, I'm good. I'm ready. And I think the showcase is, I'm not going to talk too crazy. I think the showcase is about to really knock the roof off of things that I'm hearing, and obviously things that we currently know about that's already been kind of leaked and rumored and stuff. So
I will tell you selfishly, my unprofessional moment right now is that I am so desperate to go to FanFest this year. I'm fingers crossed that I can either get the invite or get in the pool, because I want to be there for that. Like, that every bit of my being wants to be there. I've been saving for months just in case. And like,
bro, you got to get there.
I'm hoping so. So the reason I want to be there though is right now in Game Pass, there is one Activision Blizzard title, and that's Diablo 4. And yet the revenues are high. When they are able to have the announcement of Call of Duty is in Game Pass, you know, World of Warcraft's there for Game Pass for PC, when they're able to start integrating that, and then we look at the news of Sarah Bond greenlighting the back-compat team, or her vision of that next iteration of it, you have to think War for Cybertron or some of these older titles, maybe even Spider-Man starts showing up. Because when you can swing a hammer as big as Activision Blizzard's, maybe Sony's like, okay, maybe we need to sell more, right? Those bean counters looking at Helldivers numbers, we're seeing their PC. Maybe it is like, hey, you know what? Free up Spider-Man. I don't know. But if you are able to start bringing them into Game Pass, suddenly that showcase looks amazing, because you've got Hellblade, you've got Indiana Jones, you've got Avowed, you've got Flight Sim this year. And that doesn't count. What's Bethesda doing? We just saw the Fallout 4 update. Are those remasters sooner than later? Do they exist for real? My gut, everything in my being says that at least one of the Fallout remasters exists. Remake, remaster, I don't know. But like, something tells me pre-show, they were like, we need to do more with Fallout, because why not put the Fallout 4 update out sooner? Something says it's there. And if I'm Xbox, I want that cadence, that Matt Booty cadence. And they're doing faster than that right now. They've got more than four a year, but they want four big titles, four name titles. And if you put that on Game Pass and you sell it on PlayStation, you're only bolstering the company to prep for something like Gears of War, which, Cog, I don't know if you saw Liam McIntyre this week.
Well, Liam said.
He said over on Twitter, he's like, I don't know what's happening, but I think we'll hear from Gears of War in June. Now, I got to meet Liam at FanFest 2019. Last time I was there, again, that's why I want to go so bad. Seemed like a cool dude. I really enjoy his character in JD Phoenix. Really want to know how. I want to know.
Based on the way things transpired without spoiling.
What's happening after Gears 5? Because I thought Gears 5 was near masterpiece in a lot of ways. But they like didn't quite stick the landing. You know what I'm saying? They were like,
Me and you exactly there.
Yeah. Yep. Like, so close. But that trailer, I'll tell everybody, go back and watch the teaser trailer when we first saw Gears 5. That was fire. That was almost Mad World, let me tell you. But what's happening? Like, do we hear from Gears of War this year, in a year where you have Hellblade, Avowed, Indiana Jones, Flight Sim, you know, Towerborn, where it, probably sometime this year. They had this indie showcase last month. They're doing another one with IGN in like 6 minutes or something like that. Yeah. Like, they are firing on cylinders that they don't get credit for. Gamers in my social circles even miss. I missed the Triple I showcase a few weeks ago and went back and watched it. It was amazing. There's so many places to take our attention that sometimes people are missing what Xbox is just doing. And they're just doing, and clearly it's working.
Bro, and we're not even talking about the Game Pass. Two things. The deal, the third-party games that I'm seeing from Japan that they're not missing out on. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw the Meta for Fantasia and stuff like that. But also the Game Pass deals they have. When I look at a Capcom, there's a game called Path of the Goddess that looks amazing to me. That Capcom's giving them a brand new IP exclusive that's jumping in the game. So you got the third-party Game Pass deals as well, and global publishing. There's still games that we still don't even know about that's on the docket. But you're absolutely right. There is so much from the indie scene that like we still have questions. Okay, what's going to come out this year and stuff like that? I'm still waiting on Replaced, which is something that looked really phenomenal for me. So there is still a ton of stuff that they can show and have a massive show. But for Gears, to your point, I mean, it's probably time. Coalition are those guys. When it comes to graphical fidelity on the platform, they've been holding it down, and mastery of the engine since, what is it, the Matrix demo and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I think they were also a part of that. I would love, you know, to see what the next iteration is. And it seems like all the, you know, the insiders are saying that this seems to be something on the dock. I think they can tear the roof off and just show what's the next place, the next chapter of Gears, because that is a beloved franchise. And to your point, for those who beat Gears, we need clarity on some things. And I'm excited to see where they take that as well.
I have, and listeners of the show have seen this, I have questioned how much the needle moves for franchises like Gears, for franchises like Indiana Jones, two big pillars of Xbox's strategy going forward, because I have vocally wondered how many copies Indiana Jones is going to sell, because to the olds, no disrespect intended, my friend, but like, we ain't the youth, right? We're not...
Yeah, we ain't the youth no more. No, we don't run this thing.
We do not. So, like, I'm excited for Indiana Jones, but I don't know if the gaming industry at large is.
Good point.
Gears of War, for so long, through no fault of Gears of War, because their quality has been unmatched, from Gears Tactics to the remake of Ultimate Edition, and even, you know, I think Gears 4 and 5, people that might debate on it, the quality is still there. Gears of War was a pillar for so long that it was Gears, Forza, Halo. And it got a stigma, I think, a bit unfairly. But does it move a needle now? And I'm really hopeful, because the Coalition are among the most talented developers in the industry. Bar none. That's why they're hired out to go fix things for other places. And so... just what does Gears of War mean for the gaming community, the industry? Just what does that Gears gameplay get? Because it's not COD, it's not Fortnite. It's got this own weird language that Gears, like Gears multiplayer, dude, you go to a high level. People are wall bounce. It's too much.
Shotgun roll, baby. Oh my
God, that's right. But you know what? Put some respect on the Lancer's name, everybody. You can do some work, okay?
Yes, please.
So just what does Gears of War mean for Xbox going forward? I have those questions. I'm not as comfortable in like, oh, Gears here, we're gonna be all right.
Right.
I mean, look, it's been here for three episodes because I love it. But does it mean a lot to me and not everybody else, or does everybody else care too? That's, I guess, my biggest question.
No, you're right. Those are good, I would say, data points on the health of the IP, you know, on just on a global level. Does it still command that kind of attention? I think it just comes down to it. I think this is my overall theme. I've had these conversations with Rand and a lot of people. It's like, to me, where I'm at right now is the quality of the games. That's it. It's all about the game. That's why, to me, we're going to learn a lot about, you know, Matt Booty and the teams that are, you know, really running the studios, because, you know, I can't have situations. I know it's a one little stain, but we have to talk about, like, I can't have situations like Redfall, right? I need to have, you know, that quality control, especially when you do own a lot of properties, you own a lot of IP. There's a lot of responsibility with that, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, if we see Hellblade and it's like, okay, this is a highly critically acclaimed rated game. That says a lot to me, you know, and not to say, put everything on Metacritic, but let's just say it's in that, you know, 85 to 90 range kind of thing, right? You're like, okay, this is a quality experience. I need to see consistency of quality. That to me is all it's about. It's about the game quality. And certain ones I'm definitely, you know, way more confident than others. Like, for example, Machine Games, I know that pedigree already. You know, I'm a huge Wolfenstein guy. I think some of those games, New Colossus and all stuff, were like excellent. And the fact that Todd now is with Machine Games doing, you know, an Indiana Jones game. Now, to your point, I need to know if that moves the needle with the zeitgeist and everyone else outside of the Gen Xers and the, you know, does Gen Z still, you know, relate to that? That's a fair question. But I think ultimately we have to be clear. If games are highly rated, they're high quality, that creates a moment in the community. People are like, hey, I need to play this because people are saying it's, you know what I'm saying? It's one of the best games. And I think that is what it all comes down to. We see the lineup. We know the games are there. Stick the landing, execute on quality. If they do that and have a consistent 2 years, no flubs, no stepping on the rake as far as quality is concerned, they will be fine, because ultimately gamers, what they care about is the new shiny thing that's hot and it's a quality product. That's it. If they have that and they have that in their service, they'll be fine. Doesn't matter where games go, all that other stuff is secondary. That's not important. Mm-hmm. Quality is important. That's why, to me, this year is big for them. And I feel good about them. I feel like they should, for the most part, you know, stick their landing, but we'll see.
I think when you're PlayStation and Nintendo, you can have a Redfall. Like, they had not drawn to death, but maybe it was drawn to death, but like, they had a few attempts, right? Even Concrete Genie, quality was there, but it just didn't click. Something didn't land, right? You can have an ARMS if you're Nintendo, an older example, but I think it's an older code, but it checks out. Like, I think you can have those misses when you're hitting everything else out the park. Yeah. And when you're Xbox, fair, unfair, and this isn't an Xbox tax argument, this is a where you stand in the market argument. The Redfall was going to hurt that much worse. And so that's important. But I like a lot of what they're doing in the third party space, the indie space. Ellery Woodsparker III saying there's Stalker this fall. I mean, if you're
out about Stalker, yeah,
right. And understandable, because like, nobody gets to be mad at the Stalker team, right? It's just the world in a way that you can't get mad at them for not coming out when it happened. But now Xbox has this reverse problem of, oh, how do we find space and time to market all of these things? Because the piece of the pie is not, where do you put it? You know, dollars to donuts. That's why they explored things popping up on your dash when you turn on your Xbox, right? Something about it felt weird for me when it was Call of Duty last year, but it didn't feel weird at Starfield. That's my own hypocrisy. Now it's fine. Yeah. But yeah. What do we have this year, Cog? You got Call of Duty Gulf War. You got Avowed. Mm. Starfield's expansion, you've got Hellblade, oh, yeah. You got Indiana Jones, Flight Sim, mm-hmm. Stalker. What else is coming that's exclusive or that's so Xbox many. Made? There's just, like, that's seven things.
Yeah. Did we say Towerborn? Did
we say didn't Towerborn? Say Towerborn. That'd be eight.
Towerborn is part of it. That'd be eight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is so many. I gotta pull up a doc. I had a doc.
Yeah. Scroll like, down in your notes and you'll see all the color coded stuff in blue is Xbox. We know and don't know, like, that's so much. Vessel of Hatred for Diablo 4. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's another one.
Right? So you mm-hmm. got to find a way to talk to your customers, like, and get new customers simultaneously. And you've got a lot to say. I've had discussions, or I should say, with other podcasters in this community, XCP, Nerd Chat, Bitcast, mm-hmm. everywhere. Mm-hmm. Where's the Xbox logo go? The beginning, the end, not at all, everywhere. Like, now, I think it needs to be everywhere. In the front, Xbox Game Studios, then Activision, then the, you know, like, where do you put it? Oh, Pirodasa.
Contraband.
Where's Contraband? Don't know.
About that.
I forgot about it too. Do we That's need it? One. Is it good? It better not. If it's not good, I feel like Xbox is in a position now where they can say, nah. Yeah. You know?
It allows them to space things out, you know, and give studios a little bit more time that's needed, because now we see the plethora, the influx of titles. So yeah, that to me is the key, you know, the management of all these IPs. And we still know about games that they could still, that we haven't seen, or like, hey, what's going on with a Perfect Dark, or hey, what's going on, even though they may not be this year, right? Mm-hmm. You know, also, we know our people from, what is it, InXile, you know, they're mm-hmm. doing Clockwork Revolution. We know about, we got to see what Double Fine's doing, right? It's they, you know, to see what's going on with them. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of different places they could go with this. And I'm just excited because, again, I see the vision. I see the games. I know what's coming this year, which is a ton, like mm-hmm. you just mentioned, this year. A ton of, I think, Matt Booty, I think he said 10 Xbox titles, as far as whether it be from first party as well as global publishing,
yeah,
this year, 10.
That's a lot. And
it's a lot.
That's a whole, how do you manage? So here's a question, and shout out to Back from the Dead, which one of your buddies, Perfect Dark. So that brings up two things in my mind. Perfect Dark, State of Decay, Everwild, all of these things we heard about a long time ago. Where are they? Are they in the same state? There's a lot of questions that come with it. My way of thinking, if they're not ready, don't put them out there right now. You don't need it when you've got 10 on the docket. And Xbox has inherited this incredible revenue now by way of ABK, but also a number of problems, because as a COD player, and this might be the Destiny side of you here,
Break it down. Let me hear it. What's going on in the street?
So I've got Modern Warfare 2 and 3 back to back, right? That's that's campaigns, zombies, Warzone integration, and multiplayer seasons.
Okay.
My skin, I buy a skin, it works everywhere. I buy a gun blueprint, it works everywhere. Okay. So I put so much money and time into this game that's really been running for 2 years now, but it's got Warzone free to play integration to it. Now you've got Gulf War coming. Is that, how do you integrate that? Because are you separating Gulf War's multiplayer from Modern Warfare's 2, 3, which are integrated now, which has Warzone tied to it? Because Warzone's your moneymaker, and it's integrated with mobile now, which if you play on mobile, your battle pass progresses. Where does Gulf War's content go? Where does it sit? That's the question I have. And I really wonder. Shout out to Tao Zochi today real quick. $5 super chat. That's not Logan. He says, have a great show, guys. And you're wrong, Cog, about that Tekken versus Street Fighter.
Listen, shout out to Tao Zochi. You met him in real life. Cool dude. Cool dude. There's a big debate going on with the fighting game community lore, because I beat Saul for the bet. A lot of these Street Fighter guys, don't get me wrong, I know Street Fighter is the more popular franchise.
That's right.
But their emotionality of the characters in their lore, they seem to get emotional when their most powerful character actually crossed over into Tekken. His name, you know, Kuma. He was in Tekken 7. And there was a literal canon fight, and there was a standstill draw with one of our not most powerful characters, and which is Devil. Don't get me wrong, Devil Kazuya is powerful. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to be disrespectful.
But he's not the apex.
Because people didn't play Tekken 8. So I listened to Tazuichi and Sov, and I exposed them, because until you finish the game, then you understand that Devil Kazuya is not even our most powerful character. And their powerful character fought to a draw where it basically just faded out, and there was no conclusive winner on the thing. He could not, none of them beat each other. So, you know, I just like to poke the bear a little bit. They're in their feelings a little bit. I'm putting the boot on their neck. I'm just letting them know, yeah, you're popular, but you're not the most powerful.
I love Street Fighter, but them prices are out of control right now.
Yeah, they're out of control. But
yeah, go back to my idea of how do you integrate Call of Duty when you've got skins and characters and mobile integration, but now you're bringing in a new game. That's a problem. Like Nerd Chat saying he's going to buy his Little Caesar skin for Modern Warfare 3. I keep asking you a question, then stopping you, Coggin. That's a bad host in me. But let me.
You good.
Little Caesars. That's trash food for trash.
Oh, damn.
That's just trash food, right? It's not good. Say something nice about Little Caesars. I dare you. Can you?
not my pocket there.
That's right. Thank you. Well
I'm good.
Said.
I'm good.
But yeah, how do you solve the Call of Duty problem?
Yeah, that's a tough one. These are the questions of integration. See, I guess the best equivalent I can say is it's like, I'm looking at it visually from a hub standpoint. If Modern Warfare games are now all part of the hub, and then they are now integrated into another hub that is Warzone, then there's a part of me, the corporate cog in me says that, I hate to say this, that I feel that they're going to make a new hub with Gulf War, and that's not going to be integrated, and that somehow the Battle Royale also gets up. A new version of that comes into this new hub where you start the monetization cycle over. I hope I'm wrong. I have no experience with the Call of Duty model. I haven't played in so long. The last one I played was the one last year that people were really upset about or whatever.
Three.
But
more
actually,
than three.
Yeah, I was like, I like this.
It was
campaign.
Good, right? I liked the set. I liked it.
Bro, it was like a high, you know, it was like a popcorn action movie. Yeah. The train got taken over. The airport thing where it was so much going on that I was on the edge of my seat. I was like, I like this. I don't know why people hate this. But according to the hardcore people, like, yo, they reused some assets or whatever. Okay, fine. But for a casual guy like me that hasn't played in a while, I thought it was really impressive. So you saw some of the old guys like Soap and I was like, oh, I remember this. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. So, you know, look, to your question, I think there might be a whole new package of sweets that unfortunately are not going to have the progression of the older Modern Warfare games. I think they're going to start with a whole new fresh can of paint. But hopefully, we'll see. Hopefully, I'm wrong.
I think you're right. I think you're right. But I really wonder how that factors for Warzone Mobile, because they really want that to be a thing. And if you're going to have cross progression and battle passes, how are you going to manage that? I think that's going to be a big question, because I doubt many people in our chat or listening later on are you know, they're high level mobile players, but that is a market that Xbox is attacking right now, is that mobile market. So I'm curious what they're doing with Warzone Mobile as Gulf War comes out. And that's I think Treyarch is making that one, because Sledgehammer handled this one.
Yeah,
Treyarch's can't argue that, right? Like, they're good studios. So I like watching Xbox proper have to handle these bigger Activision Blizzard issues. We saw them peel off Toys for Bob, which I think,
yes,
hindsight makes great sense if they're now working on a game with Xbox and licensing out the character of Spyro or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that. No problem. If that's where people want to go and they're happy and they're still going to be working with Xbox, cool.
Right. And the relationship is retained, right?
And they probably avoided layoffs by way of doing that, which is, it's good PR. It's good relationship building, and it allows for things to work going forward. So these questions that they have to answer for us as consumers, to me, are just fascinating to watch. But I do want them to get that Activision stuff integrated with Xbox a little bit faster than we're doing. And I expect it to be this summer, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I was told, you know, last year that, you know, people have to, he was like, oh, you got to be patient, because I'm in the same pocket. I'm like, yo, what's up with this integration? Why is it? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was just the legal stuff. They literally could not act at all until the actual finalization. So there was no pre-planning. And a lot of that is not as... basically the way it was told to me, it's not as simple as just flipping the switch and the Game Pass logo is on, you know, in those games kind of thing. So yeah, it's coming. It's going to take time, but yeah, I'm with you on that full integration. I think it's a treasure trove of titles, as well as the new IPs, and I expect Call of Duty to shake the world when that thing is in there. And I think it's imperative for Xbox to really promote, whether it be through the console sale integrate. If you want to improve console sale, let me give you an idea. How about you have that Series S and that Series X Call of Duty version themed console? How about you have the marketing that if you get a Series S, boom, in Game Pass, you're right into it. That needs to be shouted from the rooftops, which I think will happen, because this will be the first showcase that Call of, in a long time, just like the 360 days, that Call of Duty will be on an Xbox stage to let the masses know this is where you get it and this is the service you get it. But they have to do a standout job with getting that marketing across, because that is huge to be a part of the ecosystem.
I got to say, This is all conjecture, but I think it's conjecture based on evidence. So it's an inference, not an assumption. I see that we've had two showcases this year that have been indie focused, and they're working with IGN to work on messaging, getting Xbox out there. But we just saw and got word this past week that BlizzCon is canceled this year. They're not doing a BlizzCon.
Right.
They've got events coming. We know that World of Warcraft, The War Within, is on its way. We know that Diablo 4 has its first expansion, Vessel of Hatred, is on its way. Bethesda side, they've got Starfield's Shattered Space coming this year. And it's like they have things to celebrate on the Blizzard side with 30th anniversary of Warcraft. Then you got Leah McIntyre talking about Gears of War, talking, you know, we'll hear about it probably, I think, maybe, you know, who knows. When I see and think about all that stuff that's happening and not happening this year, all I can think of is that the showcase in June with Xbox is 2 hours long, and they are just hit after hit after hit. They just better have that Xbox logo next to that Diablo, next to that World of Warcraft, that Call of Duty, to me, so that they can get that messaging out there. Because you don't cancel BlizzCon if you don't have something planned, I don't think.
I agree. Now, I want you to be clear, because I want to help understand. When you see the Xbox logo next to things, you mean in terms of like the presentation, the reveals? Like, where do you want to see it? Help me understand that part.
So I think, and it's dependent, right, on what the studios want. Does Obsidian want their logo and then Xbox?
Oh, or do they mean like Xbox? How the Blade situation, like at the end, you want it to clearly, okay.
Say I Xbox. I don't care where Blade actually is available down the line, exclusive, not now. I mean, I think I cared when it was being announced. I didn't like the vagary, and I thought that was bad messaging on their part. Two, you were making people ask questions about where it was going instead of the quality of the game. What's it going to be? And that's a problem. That's bad messaging. But when you showcase a game, people need to know that's an Xbox game. It doesn't matter where you play it. it's an Xbox game. When you're Call of Duty, you think an Xbox. When you're Grounded, you're thinking Xbox. When you're World of Warcraft, thinking Xbox.
I see what you're saying.
So that's what I want to be very clear and distinct from here going forward, because consoles are going away. Consoles and console exclusives are not necessarily the same thing. Again, go back to the first hour of the show. Sea of Thieves, 40 million. You know, PlayStation Store, 7 of them are Xbox. People need to know that if you want the brand to grow. If that piece of the pie in the console space isn't getting bigger, your customer base needs to get bigger. And that can be wherever you want it to be, but people need to know it's Xbox.
I see what you're saying. Okay, makes sense? I got you now. I got you now. And to me, that's a point. I mean, I would be surprised that didn't happen at their own showcase, but I understand your point where you're 100%, I'm 100% spot on, is when it's being showed on the publisher's showcase or when it's being showed on, for example, like a Game Awards, right? Something that is not Xbox, a stage that is not Xbox controlled. I'm 100% with you that they need to show that. And I think we see the little signs of it with, I think obviously the way Atlas just did the Metaphor Fantasio reveal, and it's clear Xbox had to market it. And it's clear at the end, it was like, to the point where I looked at the comment section of the reveal thing on Atlas, and people are like, hey, is this coming to PlayStation? And again, not to be deceptive, but that's what you have to do. It's the same thing PlayStation did with Hogwarts. They had the marketing, but you would have think it's a PlayStation game because at the end of it, you know, you saw the PlayStation logo, you see, that's what they need to do, especially if they control the marketing, or like you said, in these cases, they control the studios, right? So yeah, I think that is something that they need to improve. Hopefully the message was received in with Bethesda in the Blade situation, you know, kind of thing. Cause you, like you said, horrible messages where you have to clarify where is it going? Who's it going to? You need to be distinct, especially if it's Xbox game studios that you control. Doesn't matter that it's going to PlayStation, but at the end of the day, we need to see your logo, your marketing, you know, first and foremost. So I agree with you there.
I think when I think back to the Blade announcement, it was awesome. I forget the gentleman's name, French guy. He was so, let us cook, like that gentleman.
Yeah,
like,
amazing.
He was so excited. He was so stoked there. We were going to see the best out of this studio that I think people really wanted, because we thought people didn't get that it was it's Arcane Leon doing Blade, but a different Arcane that handled Redfall. Correct me if I'm wrong, chat. Let me know, because I might be mixing up. But
That's Arcane Leon versus Arcane Austin. Arcane Austin is, if I understand, did Redfall.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, this is Leon. This is the AA side.
they're top tier. Yeah. We should have been excited about it and been like, okay, what kind of game? What's it going to be? And instead, we were wondering, you know, where is it? When's it? When is it? What's the? We should have been stoked and celebrating this guy. You know,
I agree.
That was at Game Awards. Am I right?
Yes, that was Game Awards. That was Game Awards.
So I will compare it. I hope this isn't too like on the nose, but when when Abubakar Salim was on the stage at that same showcase for Tales of Kinzera, all we did was celebrate Kinzera.
Yes.
All we did was celebrate it. No one was worried about a logo, where, what. It's admittedly a third party, but everybody spotlighted the game. They were there for it. That's what they wanted to talk about. And that needs to happen with Xbox. Okay, it's Xbox, but we're talking about the game. That's to me the coolest part. And I've got Kinzera on the mind, right? Like, I was just playing this morning. And it's cool. And Abubakar is just the coolest.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
You know, let me just give him a shout out on this show that he doesn't listen to. Because he came on the show a few weeks ago for an interview as he was promoting Kinzera, the nicest dude in the world.
Super nice.
Really cool. A couple people in our Discord messaged me and they were like, can you tell him how much we love this? So I did. I said, hey, Abu, this is what's going on. I told them everything they said. I'm within 15 minutes, Luke, thank you so much. And he wrote back and he had a message for them. To me, that's the best part of games, man. We were talking about games, celebrating, just playing my game.
Everybody did. It's beautiful, man. What a story, right? Because I remember that him jumping on stage and talking about the grief with his father and the inspirations behind the game. And yeah, man. Awesome that you had him on and to see him really get his moment, you know, because when I saw it, I'm like, okay, story sounds great, but this looks like a quality game in conjunction with your story as a developer. So yeah, man, it is so dope to see love, because it's, at the end of the day, it's about these games, bro. That's what it's about.
100%. 100%. Yeah, I'm happy to see him getting his flowers because the game is good, which is great, right? Like, that really helps. Because I look at juxtapose Tales of Kunzera next to Harold Halibut. Harold Halibut, also a labor of love, beautiful art style, great story behind it, and the game just wasn't fun for people. I've not played myself. No. I'm going off of impressions from others, but I don't think it landed the way people wanted it to.
Right.
And that's a bummer, right? Like, you don't want that. But to see Kunzera getting its flowers and people loving it, like, let's go. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
We had a couple questions from people in the social spaces, and this one, a bit self-serving because it's Logan, who's not here today. He was asking, you know, going forward as consoles are kind of bleeding and blending into the PC space, and I was literally listening to Kay Asante this morning talk about this. Where do you see yourself going as a main? Because like, we're console people original, but then like PlayStation app trophies, Xbox Game Bar achievements, play on cloud, play on ROG Ally, Steam Deck, Where do you see yourself playing your main in a few years? Chat, for you too.
Yeah, I think for me, that's a great question. You know, for me, I'm kind of already in this ubiquitous kind of thing future right now already because of my schedule. You know, first of all, first and foremost, I'll probably always be a console guy at heart because I do like the idea of, you know, putting the box in front of a TV and, you know, whether it be an OLED or what have you. But this is the beauty of Xbox versus I have the flexibility. You know, if there is something on PC, I can take it. But where it really takes it to the future, where I'm excited for Xbox, is the rumors of a potential 2026 or 2027 generation start, where maybe one SKU is handheld in the form of a ROG Ally. Because I use my ROG Ally all the time. I'm a person that I'm traveling, I'm on a plane, I'm on a train to PAX, you know, I'm at the doctor's office or something, you know, and I like to use that extended downtime to catch up on gaming. There's nothing more next gen to me than playing Starfield on my Series S console, save data goes up to the cloud, I open up my ROG Ally, I open up the Xbox Game Pass PC app natively, downloads the Star, open up Starfield, my data is right there, continue the same experience I had on console on my ROG Ally. And, you know, the rumors that they, you know, obviously we see what Phil, not even rumors, Phil is literally speaking this into existence, how much he loves his ROG Ally, how much, you know, he wants it to be more, his a handheld to be more Xbox as opposed to a PlayStation, I mean, a PC UI. And I think that's the future. It's just the choice, the ability to have an Xbox UI console-like experience on either a handheld, and you still create the traditional console for those who don't want that SKU, you know, as well in conjunction with people who are not console people, who are just PC, but they still want to play Xbox games. So the future is being able to go wherever you want to go. So to answer your question, yes, console is probably still number one for me, but I like the idea with cross and forward progression. Like, I think that's the future of gaming. Like, I love that stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm very much in the same realm as you. Console, I think, is just me by nature.
Yes.
I like the simplicity, the plug and play aspects, which are fading. You know, these consoles are more and more PC-like in their construction, their idea, what they do. But I like what you said about, you know, you play, shut down, pick up something else, log in, and your save data is there. That, to me, is the better version of what I used to get in my Switch, right? Like, I'd be playing Breath of the Wild back when I was on Switch playing a lot, pick it up, go play in the other room, and it's just there. Same thing happens now, but I'm a teacher, so my budget's different, chat, so calm it down. But when I pick up my Backbone and attach it to my phone, right, and I start playing Gears Tactics again, my save's right there. Same premise, right? It's not quite the same as like a ROG Ally and such, but like, it's there. And, you know, as I've been scrolling, kind of just anyone watching the video version, you've been seeing I've been scrolling the responses. Most of the people in our chat on the Xbox Expansion Pass that are here visiting because of an Iron Lord, from a Defining Duke, from our various communities, most of them have been saying PC.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to me. Like, I'm watching this happen and it's like, we're an Xbox show, and I'm seeing PC, 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 which might be why revenues are up for Xbox, because they've been in this PC space since 2017, and they're now ubiquitous. and everybody else is jumping on board to it. So maybe that's what's happening, but I'm a console guy, and I think I'll be a console guy.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I think it's actually cool when you see, I see all the PC, you know, in the chat right now, and people are saying PC, PC, because again, you know, people want to play where they want to play it. You know, PC guys want to play with the highest frame rate, the highest fidelity, you know, and I think that's cool that they are willing to join the Xbox ecosystem and partake, whether it be through the PC Game Pass app or whether it be on Steam and buying the game revenue. Xbox does not care how you enter the ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah, fully agree. Fully agree. Chat, if you've got questions for Cog and I, let me know and put them in chat there. This question came from Chipotle Bear, who is a host of the Nerd Chat. He was on XCP last week. He wanted to know, and this is a silly one, if you could earn an achievement or trophy for one or a few of the mundane tasks in your daily life, what would you earn them for? What would their titles be? For me, it's got to be exercise, like, because I don't like exercise, but I got to do it. I think that would be one for me.
You literally saw what I was gonna say. Yeah, I was gonna say I need that health as wealth achievement. I need that health as wealth achievement. You know, you know how, like, I almost need it set up the way Xbox rewards is. You know how, like, you log in at day one, day two, day three. Like, like, I need that constant positive reinforcement. Yo, you're doing it. You're doing it, bro. You know what I'm saying? You're sticking with it. Especially that cardio that you hate. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that would be mine. Because, yeah, I think it's important for us to, as gamers, to kind of stick with it. You know, we're pretty much, you know, stationary for so long, you know, playing these games that we love. But, you know, we gotta move around, you know, kind of thing. So that would be my Xbox achievement that I would like.
I like that. I like that. I think... Xbox, didn't they try something? Not quite, but like, remember Kinect exercise programs and stuff?
I ain't gonna hold you. I had like so many achievements in that game.
Did you
like,
really?
I was religious. I was depressed when they shut that down.
Really?
So I would log into my ex. They had the Sean T. They had the P90X. They had, bro, they had like professional, you know, real routines from the experts teach you. And here's the thing, the Kinect 2 sensor functionality was so advanced that you couldn't cheat and be lazy during the movements. It would be like, no, Cog, your arm's not extended. You're not holding the form the way we're. And I'm like, it was, bro, I would work up the best sweat, some of the most intense workouts I ever did. I just move everything out the living room and it would be me and that Kinect 2. I was religious with it. And yeah, man, it was interactive too. I was hurt when Xbox Fitness went down. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, damn, that was my jam. Yeah, for real.
So I'm bummed that you were hurt, and it's dope hearing that. I don't think they should bring it back. It'd be cool if they did. You know what I mean? Like,
It's over.
It's over, right? But like, cool. Right, but it's just, yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah, the problem is it's tied to Kinect, right? And it's clear as day, though, that initiative is long gone. Mm-hmm. And gamers, unfortunately, I was just saying unfortunately, but you know, gamers, I'm the minority in that respect. You know, gamers definitely want a true core gaming experience, and they don't want the extra stuff. But as a person who loved tech, I was just impressed with how responsive and how accurate the actual device and the software was when it came to that, you know, platform. It was funny, but those days over. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, agreed. Chat, if you're here, please hit that like button. See them climbing up, and I appreciate you. Oh gosh, Cog, I don't know if I'm supposed to ask you this. This is from Back from the Dead. You said he was your boy. How'd you get the nickname Lord Beefy?
He being messy. This is a king thing. I forgot how like the discussion happened and we talking. I forgot whatever context I used, and I was like, yeah, because, you know, I couldn't fit through there because, I'm a beefy guy. And he's like, what do you mean beefy? What the hell? And he just started I'm like, you're not going to beef shame me on my physique. So I'm comfortable with who I am and how my body is shaped. So that's where the Lord Beefy. So they were putting like beef in the chat. They were spamming it. And thus Lord Beefy was born. So yeah, I've embraced it now. I we even got merch with it. So that's the Lord Beefy thing.
That's messy. Messy.
For sure.
But okay. All right. We had a question come in from Lord James Suddy, who is a good friend of mine. He wanted to know what personality traits — this is less gaming, more podcasting — what personality traits make a good podcaster, a good host? And you are on two of the most successful gaming podcasts, and at the risk of over I don't know what it is. There's making you feel uncomfortable. I'll say, like, you're role models for so many of us in the podcasting space, and use your platform to elevate people, which I am so grateful for. What personality traits makes a good podcaster?
I think one first thing is passion. You got to love what you're doing. You have to, you know, really take into account, you know, the people that you're looking into as far as bringing on the show, and just yourself. I think your own mindset, why you're doing it. You have to have that inner passion for it. But I think what makes also good is you got to listen. That's another thing. Like, you know, listening is really important because we all get excited. I think I'm guilty of it too. You have like a big guest or there's so many things you want to say, whatever. But like one of the things you do is like, hey, Cox talking, let him rock. Right. And I think that is very key, so that this way, one, it shows, you know, the guest that, hey, this guy's paying attention, and you respond accordingly to things that kind of catch your eye and kind of create these organic situations. So that's the first thing. And I just think, be yourself. I think one of the things that I remember when I first started, you know, one of the things that I really got, I would say like a negative review, but I had like our first big guest, you know, on ILP or whatever. And it was a huge get for us way back. And I'll never forget, sometimes the comment section, you know how they are sometimes, they can get you. Mm-hmm. And I saw a comment, I was like, hey, you know, guys, you were talking about the guests, like those, you know, you're cool, but don't go back. You know, that car guy, he's a little too over the top. He corny with this intro stuff. And I remember it did affect me. I remember it affected me, and I remember speaking to the other lords and saying, like, man, should I, you know, continue to do, you know, the intros and the stuff that I'm kind of known for? And they were like, Hell yeah, you should still do, like, be yourself. And then I remember I took that and flipped it into a positive where it became more theatrical. It became more fun because I'm like, look, this is part of my personality. I like to laugh. I like to have fun. So I think for people, my best advice for podcasting and people who are looking to get into it is be yourself. Be true to yourself. Because it's going to come off better or who you are.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I think making sure I don't double on the same idea. I know for me, as someone who likes to do developer interviews and ask a lot of guests to come on, I get 10 to 15 no's for every yes. And XCP has been going on 5 years. We're not the biggest, right? I've got a wonderful community that means the genuine world to me, because every day, to go back to Butch's comment from the very beginning of the show, we're there for each other. We're talking, we're chatting. It's a community. It's real. But that the nose can hurt over time, and you got to power through.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
And not take it personal. I think that's the part that I'm not there yet on some people when I hear no, but like, I mentioned Randall Thor 19, who supported this show. He's a patron of this show, right? He's huge in the Xbox community. Luke, I'm double booked. I can't do it today. That's okay. Like, not taking that personal means the world. And so if you're going to do podcasting, you got to realize it's not going to be right out the gate success. You got to grind. It's going to hurt like anything. If it's a passion project, it's a passion project. And games are not work. Podcasting should not be work. So it's important to recognize that. At least that would be my advice.
That's great. That's fantastic, man. I've actually applied that myself. You know, it's just like sometimes no means not now, not right now, but it could be. And I've had situations with people that I now like I have great relationships with that I remember at the time I had to check myself like, yo, why are you upset? Why are you mad that they said they couldn't do it? You know what I'm saying? Kind of thing. Because sometimes as a show host, you got like these great ideas. You'd be like, yo, this is a perfect time, the perfect guest on this topic. Like we're brainstorming, we're cooking. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, when it don't happen. I think it's a natural human reaction. But the thing is, like you said, check yourself. This is supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. It's okay. They can't do it right now. You know what I'm saying? But hopefully later, don't take it so personally. And then also what I've learned too is that, you know, what you do exceptionally well at XCP is like, sometimes it's like, we all want to shoot for the stars and we get what the big guest, but sometimes some of the more interesting interviews, especially in this space, is from kind of up and coming people, or people who are now getting their feet wet that maybe haven't had a platform. And you're like, man, I see the talent here. I see the passion, and this ends up becoming this really great show. Because, you know, you give someone else an opportunity as well. So, yeah, it's that balance, man. But you made a fantastic point. I'm the same way. I try not to let the no's, you know, with the bigger things get me down. Keep pushing and things are going to happen.
Yeah. big time. Fully agree there. Fully agree. It's just exciting. Like, not work, fun. If you're not having fun, you are doing it wrong. And take a step back. Like, it's video games. Yeah, you know, man. It's video games. Cog, as we wind out, what are you playing right now? What are you playing right now?
Ooh, let me tell you this funny story. So now I am in such, like, when people tell me they don't have nothing to play, I get mad at them. Like, what are you talking about? So here's the thing. You know, I got, initially, you know, I'm a Destiny guy. And Destiny wants to be good again all of a sudden. Well, Bungie wants to do all these things, right? So you got that. Then you got the Fallout craze, right? That we talked about earlier. But here's the other problem. I didn't expect me to be addicted to Dragon's Dogma 2. Didn't see this coming.
Really? I bounced off, so tell me what got you.
I never played a Dragon's Dogma game. And I remember Maddie was talking about it, and he was raving about it. But what got me is, don't get me wrong, the performance is a little rough, you know, certain things. But what got me is the pawn system. And I found out that usually in these type of games, I used to pick a fighter or a mage. I ended up going like with the rogue class. And where it really picked up with me is this vocation called the Mystic Spearhand.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, it's like a spear-wielding combination of a magic user as well. It is some of the most coolest things ever. And here's the thing. It's the sense of adventure and random things can happen at any time where you either have to make camp. You got to, you know, you can't scum save in this game. So the thing about it is, if you didn't save at the end and you didn't say like, and it's such a sense of adventure, just go off and do things. I'm actually like, I'm not going to say it's like the strongest narrative. It's okay. But also the things that I like that they really introduce. I know what it is. You know what it is, Ghost? They're doing new things in the open world space that I've never really seen before. You can change the vocation all that time, but the thing, the pawn system, switching those out.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like too is just like the idea that anything can happen at any time really excites me, as well as quests that are, I would say, they have time. You know how you play a game, they're like, you go up to NBC, save my son, right? You know, you play every game, every open world game has save my son, save my cat, whatever, right?
Yeah.
In Dragon's Dogma, there's an hourglass sign next to those quests, some of these quests.
Right, I know what you're
getting
at.
If you go off and try to do, the cat is dead, or the little boy that you thought. So I like that, and it then creates certain urgency for certain things, but I can't believe it. Like, this game has its hooks on me. So I'm really deep. I'm like chapter two or whatever it is. Still playing that. Obviously, I got Zao lined up tonight. That's going to be my Zao session.
Have you really started Zao?
No. I touched the demo and all that stuff, but I didn't get a chance to really dig in. Like, tonight is Tales of Kassara Day. Like, as soon as I come back and do everything. So I'm excited for that. Man, it's so many games. Iron and Chronicles, I want to try that. You know what I'm saying? I'm a huge Suikoden fan, and the fact that it's on Game Pass now, and it's obviously, we reviewed it on launchgaming.net, and bro, it is just so many good games right now. And the other thing I've been playing on the side, don't laugh, when I actually fired up Fallout Shelter, because you know what it was? When you watch the show, I think the Vault Dwellers are the most naive, hilarious people in the history. Like, they are ridiculous. So part of me is like, I want a Vault experience game right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I haven't played Shelter. Bro, I was having a good old time. Like, mad. Like, look, hour or two went past in the doctor's office. I'm like, man, this is fun as hell. So, yeah, I haven't picked it up since it launched. So those are the ones I've been playing.
Mobile gaming gets a bad rap, I think, in this community. Obviously, it's very successful in many places. I love mobile gaming. I like Backbone, like controller style Vita, and I like just one handed match three or Shelter.
And it's on console too. It's literally on console. Yep.
So I'm no shame for me. I'm excited to find out what you think of Tales of Kanzera, because when those full disclosure, XCP got two review codes for that one. When I started it, I was sick as a dog and I put it down. Because I was so sick, like the colors were too bright, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's when you're not feeling well. Yeah, you can't play something like that when you're not feeling well.
And when I went back in, one of my games of the year is Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. And I literally asked Abu about this. I was like, you know, this came out, like, what's, you feel weird about it? He's like, no, this is great. So I was jumped in. This feels like a more focused Prince of Persia, like the team is smaller, kind of thing. So we're doing less, but it does it so well. I love the writing. I love the acting. I was listening to Kay Asante and Everborn this morning. Like, these are African actors speaking English. And so it comes through very authentic, but I can still understand it, which I really liked. I just beat the first boss. Again, I got to credit Paris Lilly because he was like, try this. Paris. Yeah. He didn't know who I was from anybody in chat. That's like, Xbox friend, let's try this. And I was like, so I did. And I was like, dang, if that didn't work. So I had to met. Thank you. And beating that first boss felt good because I didn't drop the difficulty. And I really like it. There is one thing in the game that is throwing me off, and that's that when you have to do the bounce jump side to side, standard Metroidvania wall jumping.
Yeah.
It's like a little too wide. But it works just fine, but it looks too wide.
It looks too wide. Yeah.
Those little things, but I'm loving the lore. It's really steeped in like their true religion, mythos. And I really dig that because I was expecting the God of Death to be this like very westernized, like raw thing. No, this looks like your uncle. This looks like your grandfather. He's just wisdom. And it's like, oh, this is a new look at death. This is a new look at wine. I'm really enjoying this journey. That's cool. And there are some great lessons. I don't know if anybody in chat, this is a teacher in me coming out. If anyone's ever read Aesop's Fables, they're just lessons. I feel it in Kinzera. I'm like, that could have been a fable. That's just fun. I don't know. Dumb Dope. Stuff for me.
Yeah. No, that sounds amazing, bro. That's not dumb. I love stuff like that. Again, different take and life lessons and it feels like there's a lot of gems in there. That's what I'm getting from you. Okay.
Really there are. And Ed, my father is one of the most, my father loves me more than anything on earth. We never got along. We just butt heads. Never clicked on that. But like, he would do anything for me and vice versa.
Nice.
And I see a different father-son relationship here that's also, I think, healthy. And it's neat to just watch. I like that stuff.
Bro, so. I can't wait. Tonight is going to be my session, so I'm ready, man.
Definitely ready. Let me know what you think, because I'm curious.
Oh, absolutely. I'll hit you up. I'm about to put some stuff up on Twitter as well.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great place to stop for today. I know you had a hard out, and I want to give you a little window of time to collect yourself before your next endeavor. Lord Cog, I'm honored you were here from the Iron Lords, from Defining Duke, but let people know where to find you, what you got going in the cooker there.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thanks for the invite, Lord, the ghost, the inseparable one in the realm of the Xbox expansion fan. Much love. Most people know me on Twitter at Lord Cognito. Oh, my man got the IO feature today.
Had to do it.
That's love. That's love. Appreciate you, man. Yeah, so on Twitter, I'm at Lord Cognito. Every Sunday is the Lord's Day, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Iron Lords Podcast YouTube channel, where we talk about the latest topics in gaming, celebrate content creators, all that. And then also, I'm on an Xbox Focus podcast where Mr. Maddie plays, Defining Duke. You catch me there. But one thing that would probably mean the most to me is lordsofgaming.net and, supporting independent, content creation and journalism and articles, opinion pieces, reviews, things of that nature. And again, that's lordsofgaming.net. And check that out when you get a chance. We've got some stuff up. We got the Iron Chronicle review, as well as some other, new games and information that's out there. But yeah, and I'm also on a Destiny podcast. I'm also for those who still play, the addiction that it is, with shout out to Ebontis and Ty Guy Travis from IGN. We do that on Ebontis' channel, and that's every Thursday. So I podcast a lot. But yeah, man, it's really good. It's really good to kind of guest again. It's been a while. I appreciate the patience. Finally, we got a chance to connect and do what we do. And Ghost is one of the best in the game. I always tell him that. He needs to know it. He's one of the best hosts in the game. And love to see your journey. Love to see what you're doing. And always, always a pleasure when we collaborate. I always, always love these discussions.
Honored and appreciated. For sure. Listeners, you guys can find me on socials at Insipid Ghost, both Threads and Twitter. I saw a lot of love in the chat today, and that just shows that going live was the right call. It's been going up every week. I saw channel members and super chats and people hanging out and making friends and planning to watch each other's podcasts. That's what I like to see. That's what I like to know that XCP is about, is supporting one another. So thank you. Have a fantastic rest of your week, everyone, and take care.